According to a recent survey conducted by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, the manufacturing industry in the state is surging. For a better understanding of what this means, how we got here, and where the industry could be going, we're checking in with Randy Wolkin, President and CEO of the Manufacturers Association of Central New York. Welcome back to the show, Randy.
Thanks for having me, David.
So in this July survey, half of respondents said the conditions in the manufacturing industry have improved over the last month. Are things continuing to get better for manufacturers in New York? And if so, how would you describe the landscape right now?
Yes, things are getting significantly better. These are historic numbers. Quite frankly, this is some of the highest numbers we've seen ever reported in a survey. So robust recovery going on in manufacturing across the state, which is very welcome, given just coming through a deep recession and a pandemic. So very positive. Manufacturing is surging in New York State. That should make all of us feel really good, because this is the one industry that could move or relocate or be in a different place in the world because of the global economy that manufacturing operates in today.
So there's a variety of metrics that employers in the manufacturing sector were asked about for this survey. Mm-hmm. What is it that stood out to you as a meaningful indicator about where the industry is right now?
Well, what I always look for is, you know, where's orders, where's shipments? These are the things that drive actually manufacturing activity and ultimately drive employment. And they're up at historic levels. I mean, they're really high reported in terms of high reporting for new orders, also shipments. These have remained historically high for the last few months, and that really will indicate future productivity. And then ultimately, we're seeing a surge in employees. I mean, we've seen it in our members. I mean, literally have openings of 20, 30, 50 individuals where they want to hire to bring them on board. So all of these indicators, employees is a lagging indicator. You first of all increase people's overtime and then you hire, but employees is also going up. And you also see in the future indexes, continued investment, things like capital and technology spending are all, you know, at very high levels. So these are all really positive indicators that New York State manufacturing is surging, and that's really what we wanted to see come in out of the recession.
I want to seize on a bunch of things you just said there, but first I want to mention the capital spending you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. So if people are investing their money in long-term projects, that must mean they think that it's worth investing, that they think there's going to be customers and manufacturing here in New York then, right?
Absolutely. When you're investing in capital and technology, for that matter, that's a real bet on the future. In fact, those are the leading indicators in manufacturing today. It's a very technology-heavily and capital-driven manufacturing sector. Employees usually lag after capital and technology has been invested in. But it does. It means they want to grow, they want to expand, and they're becoming more profitable as they do that, or they wouldn't make these investments.
And you mentioned new orders and shipments being real meaningful metrics to gauge the state of the industry. And if I look at the visualization of both of these metrics in this report, I see huge dips in early 2020. And then I see the lines, you know, rebounding a V-shape and then continuing to grow, which really emphasizes what you said about historic numbers. I mean, it's not like we just bounced back to pre-pandemic levels. There's what, some growth even beyond that?
Absolutely. If you look at the indicators go back at least the way the survey shows you to 2015.
Right.
We're at historic levels. So this is well beyond what we would have normally seen, sort of a bounce back. This is a surge beyond what was before the pandemic in terms of this reporting. So again, positive indicators for the future of manufacturing. And that's why I do look at these over time. They're really about trends, not one month at a time. But the trends continue to remain at historic levels, which is really bodes well for manufacturing.
Can you elaborate a little bit on the, I guess, challenge or lack thereof that employers are facing in terms of finding employees for the manufacturing sector?
To me, it's the number one challenge right now, finding those skilled workers that allow you to continue to drive your business, because it's really a technology-focused, capital-focused industry today. You don't just hire more people and grow your business. They've got to be skilled. And like I said, we don't have enough workers in manufacturing now. There's a shortage of manufacturing workers. It's one of our primary focuses at MACME now and with our Manufacturers Alliance partners throughout the state of New York, finding people to go to work in these high growth industries that pay well, but they are technical jobs. So we've expanded our apprenticeship approaches, and we're rapid upskilling is a part of the future for manufacturing. So people will drive the overall sustainability of this growth.
When you do something like start a new apprentice class, how long does it take to get those potential employees to the point where they can be actual employees?
Well, the good news is they're already employed, so they're learning on the job.
Okay.
And then they end up with a significant amount of learning training. Some of it's more educational, done with community colleges or online experiences, and then in the on-the-job training. So it usually takes 18 months to 3 years to be a fully trained apprentice, but you do it while you're working, which, by the way, is a great pathway for any person wanting to get into the manufacturing sector because you get paid. Unlike, you know, traditional education where you pay to go to school, they pay you to learn. And so we've seen a gigantic increase in the number of companies who realize they got to grow their own, that they don't exist in the general economy, so they have to hire them and then train them. And that's really a good and welcome, I think, approach because they'll never stop learning. In today's manufacturing space, new technologies, new approaches, new products and services are part of the ongoing effect and impact of trying to stay competitive.
And when we talk about a shortage of employees, does that mean that employees who might have been part of the sector previously are no longer working there, or that the industry has gone above and beyond the needs it had pre-pandemic and you're struggling to find additional people to bring into manufacturing?
Well, one of the things that's happening in manufacturing is what we often call in the industry the silver tsunami retirements. Mm. So you had a lot of highly skilled individuals who are now retiring. And that then, therefore, we need younger people to take their places, and they have to obviously increase their skills. We also don't have a steady stream of people coming out of high schools and colleges direct to manufacturing like other countries do, like Germany and others that have, you know, actually a skilled track, and I'll call it a college track. So we're working hard to try to change that. We need more young people to choose these careers, and we need individuals to change careers. Like, people should look at the career they're going to be in. I know a lot of people in the service sector, hospitality sector, they're looking like, do I want to go back to that job? Or maybe I want a different job. So I think there will be some reshuffling amongst the existing workers, that is, whether underemployed or unemployed or even employed, and say, I want a job in the manufacturing sector because it's high tech, it pays wonderful, and it continues to upskill me.
In case you're just joining us, we're talking about the state of manufacturing in New York, and our guest is Randy Wolkin, president and CEO of the Manufacturers Association of Central New York. How did we get to this point where we have such demand for New York manufacturing? Is there just some sort of pent-up demand for whatever it is we're producing, or are there certain state or federal policies that are contributing to this positive growth?
Well, a lot of change in manufacturing itself, that is really a capital technology-driven sector now. You walk into, and I get a chance all the time to walk into facilities, they're high-tech facilities. So we've moved to products which have greater value add, and that's really the products that the world wants today. I
mean, like what?
Just look at the chip shortage, mm-hmm. which has caused huge problems in the United States. Everything has a chip in it today.
Right.
You know, so the reality is, and I think New York State is now surging to become a primary producer of semiconductors as well. I think we'll see that as a trend as you see throughout the state, and an attraction to other companies who are in the high tech semiconductor business. But most manufacturing is moving to, I'll call them, smart products. And that's where the value add is occurring. And there's a real desire, I believe, to produce in the U.S. again. And the U.S. has surged, I believe, to be the place to manufacture again. It won't be with as many employees as it once had, in part because so much of it's driven by technology. So manufacturing has changed. And New York State is, I think, positioned itself to be in the growth sector of manufacturing. And that is, you know, a significant value add, use of a lot of technology and capital, and that bodes well for our educational systems. We have some of the best educational systems, starting, you know, at kindergarten all the way up to advanced degrees. So I think we're primed to take advantage of the new manufacturing climate around products that people want throughout the country and, of course, globally.
So are there I guess, New York State-specific policies that have contributed to this? I know the governor had initiated certain things during the last 15, 16 months during the pandemic. Have they had any effect, or is this largely all market-driven, like you're talking about, in terms of this pent-up demand?
Well, I think it's pent-up demand. I think it is market-driven. But at the same time, New York State has invested in high-tech industries, also invested in its educational system, and is starting to pivot to more skill training, not just education, sort of pure in general education. You see colleges moving in this direction. So the reality is, I think there are smart policies that have been implemented in New York State, and they continue to be. We'll continue to focus on that as an organization. And the reality is, if we're smart about it, we can grow our economy into the high-tech economy, where we need to go as a state anyway. But yes, smart policies and a lot of really savvy business people. Let's be honest, it's not always easy to make things in New York State, but they've found a way to do it well and be profitable at it so they can reinvest. So, you know, maybe it's premature, but this could be a golden age of manufacturing, something we haven't seen in New York State since maybe the 1950s. It'll be different, but it's really exciting to see so much hiring, so much investment, and such growth going on in our state, something we are not used to seeing in New York State.
Well, what can the state do to ensure that this is a prolonged golden age and not just some sort of boom-bust cycle?
I think the key is that we need to continue to focus on our education systems, preparing people for high-skill, high-tech jobs. I always say to everyone, a manufacturing job is a high-tech job. In fact, most industries are moving to high-tech, and you're going to see great transformations in the service industry as they use more and more technology, too. You're already seeing it in restaurants and other hospitality spaces. So you need to invest in skills of people starting at a very young age. We start STEM education in elementary school now. I mean, every job in the future will be a STEM job, even if you're an author or a professor. You're still having a STEM job. You'll be using science and technology and maybe a little bit of engineering, math specifically in your software. But the reality is that they're all, I'll call them STEAM careers too. Creativity is important. But we need to start that whole cycle preparing people for the 21st century economy much earlier. And I think our school systems need to continue to adapt and invest. We're involved in that with the City of Syracuse School District's transformation, which I think has been profound. I think they also have to continue to make it a smart place to make an investment. You know, we have to welcome entrepreneurs, innovation, and businesses here. New York State has to be careful not to overtax and overregulate industry. It sometimes has that tendency. So we have to keep our eye on the ball here. Jobs, growth. I also think New York State is an inclusive economy, much more so than other places. We want a wide variety of people in manufacturing and other spaces in our economy. And that's something else that large and small and medium corporations are looking for. So there's a lot of positive things going there, but we have to keep focused on the goal here, a strong, vibrant, growing economy with more people participating. And as we come out of the pandemic, I think we can do that.
Do you think government subsidies are going to need to play a role in prolonging this growth, or is this engine essentially primed and ready to go and can exist on its own?
Well, I know that the United States at the federal level is making some very significant investment in things like semiconductors and really the top technologies. We do have to make sure that we're leaders in science and technology. So I think I support the federal efforts to make investments in key technology sectors. At the state level, it's more about being a welcoming environment for those investments. And that we've done that through specific policies of investing in, you know, helping the capital investment, not making the capital investment, like the Regional Economic Development Councils are about making investments to make sure our economy is growing. And the state strategic initiatives for certain industries are about investing in them. So it's going to be a public-private partnership. The private sector alone is going to need help. This is the reason why we're in a major competition with China, which is really a government-driven growth model. So I don't think we want to be there. I don't think we want state-supported industries, and I think that's really unfair competition. But having said that, we have to participate. The government can't sort of sit back and hope that the private sector will get there, especially when it comes to the investment in, you know, basic research, you know, technology-driven spaces. We need the private sector to take the lead, but they'll have to do it in partnership with the public sector.
Well, we've been speaking with Randy Wolkin. He's the president and CEO of the Manufacturers Association of Central New York. Randy, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Sure, David. Thanks for the opportunity.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.